Welcome to Stupidity, home of the greatest media mind ever to walk the planet.
Okay, so here's the deal. He's a true icon in every sense of the word.
He's loved and feared more than any being to grace this planet.
The Stu Gossard, a man with a voice that sounds like Barry White and Beyonce had a Jewish baby.
God himself would pay $39.99 for a cameo. Fact of the matter is, you are about to embark on a transcendent experience that can only be described as psychological nudity.
This is Stu Goss, and this is Stupidity.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony!
Welcome into another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you. Please subscribe, rate and review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. By doing that, you have made us the biggest podcast in the world. We appreciate it. Keep doing it. We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today. Use code STU for a special offer when you sign up. That's code STU only at DraftKings Sportsbook. I am laughing because Billy is laughing. I don't know what Billy's laughing at, but I'll ask him. Billy, what are you laughing at?
Hey, Stu Gotts. How's it going?
How are you? Good. It's going great. We are churning out football content at a rapid pace, a pace that is unhealthy for both of us.
This, I know this is going to sound crazy. This kind of reminds me a little bit of Super Bowl week. It's not as intense as Super Bowl week was. Like, looking back, I'm trying to think. I think Super Bowl week, the two of us recorded 9 to 10 interviews or something. It was like every day it was like 3 or 4 interviews for like 2 or 3 days straight. It was kind of crazy.
I would say that week one is better than Super Bowl week. Do you agree? Because Super Bowl week,
no.
There's a tinge of sitting. No, Billy, hold up. Well, I know because you
not at
because
all.
You're done with me. You're done with God Bless Football. You're done with putting together the useless sound montage. I know football is painful for you. Sunday nights, forget it. But from a football standpoint, not a work standpoint, week one, okay. You know you have 17, 18 more weeks of this, plus the playoffs, okay? There's a tinge of sadness around the Super Bowl where, hey, football is going to go away for 7 months, and it's not coming back, and we're stuck with, you know, eventually just stuck with baseball. So I tend to think that week one, where everyone's 0-0, okay, even the Jets have a chance, is much better than Super Bowl week. In fact, we should treat week one like Super Bowl week. Bleep Super Bowl week.
I've never heard this take before.
What do you mean?
Super Bowl week, you're sad because the football season is ending.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know why I like Super Bowl week so much. It's so much fun. The times that I've gone to cover the game or to go to radio or whatever, I've had so much fun. It's been very hectic, very busy, very stressful and tiring, but also really fun.
Right. Well, I understand. Yes. But I understand why you want to sprint away from football from a work standpoint. But purely from a viewing standpoint, week one's the best. I mean, you got a full slate of games Thursday through Monday night. I mean, and you got 18 more weeks of it. It's
well,
the best.
Here's another thing, Stu Gotts, that's going on at the beginning of this year.
Yeah.
This is also the beginning of fantasy week or the fantasy season. So everyone has a chance right now. Your team is still in it. You basically are figuring out, was my draft good or bad? I don't know. I'll find out week one and two. And that's really when you start also picking up the sleepers. You pick up the people that were overlooked that have like a big first week and then eventually end up being just crap players that you shouldn't have picked up. But there's hope. There's a diamond in the rough out there that you think, you know what? Week one, I'm going to discover that person.
No one loves a sleeper more than you. Nobody. Seriously.
Who do you think, Stu Gotts, going back, and maybe we can ask Mina this question? Because I don't know.
Yeah, Mina Kimes going to join us, by the way, our friend from ESPN. She'll be our guest on this week's Stupidity. Mikey A has just entered the Zoom. I'm going to ask Mike, finish your thought, and then I want to ask Mikey A the question that we were just debating before he came on.
Well, I was going to say, who do you think, and try to think of one of them, maybe we can pop the question on Mina and see if she has a different answer. Who is that person, the last person, that week one was kind of like a bit unknown and actually lasted through the season? Like, holy crap, like this person's a star. Because there's always a person that has like a 2-touchdown week, like 80 yards rushing or whatever. Like, wow, this person this person's going to work out. And then by week three, they've completely faded and aren't there anymore. By the way, also, if you want to compete against us in daily fantasy, go to dkng.co/Lebatard and you can compete against us. Try to win some money. We did this last year. We're bringing it back this year. Mikey, are you going to do it with us this year?
Of course.
All right. I think Mikey wanted to answer your question, though, about the
Super Bowl. I have an answer. I don't think it's the last person, but it's definitely one of those people.
Okay.
Marcus Colston.
Really? Yeah, he consistently would get you. But he had some good years, though, didn't he? They had 120 catches 1 year.
But his first year, he was an unknown. Nobody knew who the hell Marcus Colston. Nobody was drafting Marcus Colston. Yeah, and then week one, he puts up a nice day. You're like, hey, maybe I'll pick that guy up. And then by week three, you're like, holy shit, I found a stud.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying Marcus Colston's first year, his first big year, because he had several of them. His first year, you're thinking his first year he went undrafted because no one knew who he was.
Exactly. Huh. What was he, seventh rounder out of Hofstra?
Yeah.
Hofstra? Like
really? Wait, before he was a seventh round pick out of Hofstra. Before we ask Mina this question, Mikey A., Billy and I were debating. He says that Billy loves Super Bowl week. Now, he loves Super Bowl week because he gets to sprint away from me, God bless football, all his football responsibilities. It's a work opinion, okay? And I'm telling him that week one is far better than Super Bowl week. Do you agree? Because there's a tinge of sadness around Super Bowl week that the NFL is going away for 7 months.
It's easily week one. I mean, Super Bowl week is nice. It's like the culmination of it all. It's a lot more social. But, like, week one is the start of I get to lock myself in my room for 12 hours, you know, three times a week and just watch football.
Mina Kimes, do you agree with me or Billy Gill? Billy Gill thinks Super Bowl week is the best. I think week one is Super Bowl week.
It's absolutely week one. Because that's how you know Billy doesn't really love football.
What is that supposed to mean?
Whoa!
Because week one, it's like the first week of school. Well, I guess that analogy probably doesn't work unless you liked school like me. But
it only works for you.
I mean, all your friends are there. Anything could happen. You got a new haircut. There's potential just around every corner. When the Super Bowl comes around, you know, most fan bases are out of it. And it's fun. And, you know, you can still be interested in the outcome, but it's a totally different sensation.
But you're arguing that people like the first week of school more than they like the last week of school.
Well, no, just Mina.
Yeah, totally. Wait, what are you
totally
different
about? Things?
Right. It's a school. The first week of school
is literally the best week of the year. You go shopping, you got new pencils.
I do like, I did love
pencils, number school, twos.
No, school shopping as a kid was like, that was the best. Because summer always ended on a drag for me because I always had to do my summer reading like last week of summer because I would always kind of put it off. I'm like, oh, I'll get to it with like 2-3 weeks left. It'll be fine. And then I'm like cramming and I'm reading like all these crazy books. Like I have 300 pages to read in like 2 days and I'm not a very quick reader. So like, that's going to take me forever. And then you get the payoff of, oh, here's the syllabus and here are all the things that I need to get. Oh, 3-ring binder? Yes, please. Oh, 5-ring binder? Okay, let's do that. 5-subject, 3-subject notebook. And no teacher was ever on the same page. They all had like their very specific things that you needed for whatever reason.
I wonder if any of this still apply. Stu, your kids are school age. Like, do kids still shop for school the way that we used to, where you'd have to go to a Staples and you'd have the list? And
they look up the answers on the web, and that's it. And they just enter. Oh, did I say that? Oh, my kids are cheating?
No, she's asking about school supplies. Did they like
going to
buy
school
supplies?
No, they don't shop for school supplies. They really don't. They don't shop. There's no number two pencils. There's no putting everything in that little plastic bag in the front of the binder. Those things were the best, right?
You put the eraser in there.
The Sharpies. In fact, Mina, I'm guessing, Billy, that Mina loves the final week of summer because she is inching closer to school.
So, Mina, this past weekend, I went to an office supply store.
You're fucking crazy.
I'm not joking. I was the only person in there and like three employees.
No, it's they're really sad now. It bums me out because not just because what you describe, which is they feel like, I don't know, something out of Station 11, like post-apocalyptic, but also because I have so many good memories of being inside those stores and doing the aforementioned school shopping.
Well, what I was thinking while I was in there, I'm like, man, it's really slow today, but like, this is it. Like, this is their Super Bowl. Like, this place is going to be packed or has been packed like the last couple weeks, but like, I don't know what it looks like the rest of the season.
Such a bummer.
So Mina, my kids are one of my kids is in first grade. He's 6 years old.
Right. Mikey would be a better person to ask. Yes.
Yeah, he gets a list not only of what he needs, but the brand and actual. Like, it took all the creativity out of it. They
really
want Crayola 8-count marker. This pack. They want this brand of safety scissor. And I'm like, you would crush the spirits of a young Mina Kimes who just wanted to creatively choose her own scissors.
It's so true. Because I always felt like I could make the best choices, like get the best pens, get the best paper, get the best backpack.
The best trapper keeper.
The best trapper keeper.
All trapper keepers.
You're so right about school supply stores, though. And, you know, they are really like the Jets of big box stores where they're relevant in September and then it's just not for
Let's
a while.
Let's be honest. We're not Jamal Adams in September. And by the way, your quarterback's Geno Smith.
Oh, come on. It's early. Mina, were you a Lisa Frank person?
I was not a Lisa Frank person. I like to do my own drawings and put them in the trap. You know, like...
Oh, the clear, transparent, like, cover of the trapper keeper binder.
This is one where, I know not everyone here might, but the kids used to do the Stussy logo. Do you remember that, Billy? And put
was that the three things that you made the S? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, my nose. God, yeah, I miss those days so much. Oh, I miss... But for me, this is the closest time to the first week of school with the NFL season coming back because it is literally, I have to get organized. I got to work. It's go time.
So do you still do the same thing? Like get excited to get your supplies, go to NFL Live and like, hey guys, check out my new backpack.
kind of, you know, I do get some new, it's a little different, like different technology outfits though. I get new outfits.
How's Lenny doing?
Ooh, good crushing question. It, thriving. We added an extra podcast day. I don't know if you guys saw that announcement.
Big Donnie workload Foxworth. For Lenny.
You're really putting Lenny to work, huh?
Yeah, I know. He actually wasn't part of the negotiation, so he doesn't know that he's not getting paid more to do it. But, you know, he lives for free. I mean, he has no complaints.
Stu Gatz here from my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So, what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. Listen, for me, it's simple. When I'm sitting around with friends, with family, we're at concerts, we're watching the Knicks finally win for the first time in 30 years, we're laughing, we're having a great time, we do it with ice cold Miller Lights. Always have, always will. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Oh my gosh. Folks, gather around. Everyone, gather around. Listen to these words. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. With same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more, don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And if you're new to DraftKings, you gotta check this out. New customers, listen to me. You bet just $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code Dan. That's code Dan for new customers. And you get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's insane. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
All Mina, Tyler Lockett, this, I found this funny, okay? Mina's a big Seahawks fan, but he thinks that Seahawks fans should applaud Russell Wilson when they play Monday night.
Uh-oh.
I love that face you're making. By the way, I have no idea what to promote because you're on so many platforms now. So feel free just to promote whatever the hell you want along the way here, okay? I see on the Rich Eisen show even. We don't like Rich Eisen. We have a beef with him, by the way.
Do you?
And by the way, God bless football. We were voted the best American football podcast in America ahead of Rich Eisen's, by the way. I'll just let
voted?
You know. Wait, the fans
was there an
voted.
Actual vote?
Yeah, there was an actual
vote. Like a poll? Yes. A real poll?
Yeah, people had to go vote. We said people, hey, can you go vote for us? And it was like us against like a bunch of other like local sports. It is a whole
Rich
thing.
Eisen's national. Listen, but yeah.
Stu, you know me. Yeah. I'm not a petty person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a lover, not a fighter. Yes. I don't hold grudges.
I know.
That said.
Okay. All right. Tyler Lockett.
If they somehow, against all odds, against literally terrible odds, pull off this week one win. They won't. I don't expect them to. I'm picking against them as an emotional hedge in every possible venue.
Good for you.
However, while I'm not a petty person, if they do that, the season's over for me.
Wow.
I go 1-15. I don't care. Raise the banner. If they somehow, after all these offseason stories about, oh, Russell Wilson and you coach, they love each other. Let's ride. I got this. I have my own. After all of that, if he loses to Seattle week one, it's over. That's my Super Bowl. I will walk into ESPN the next day like that gif of Vince McMahon strutting, you know? Like, yeah. I will talk of nothing. I will be so insufferable if that happens. But it's not going to happen.
So if the Seahawks went 2-15, which is a possibility, by the way, when Geno Smith is your quarterback, but the two wins were against, well, I guess the one win, 1-16, let's make it. I had them inside the same division. They went 1-16, but the only game they won was against Russell Wilson and the Broncos. You would consider that like a Super Bowl type season for you?
I would rather that happen than them be mediocre, yes.
Wow. Now, what if I did it this way, okay? They can go 14-3, but one of those three losses, okay, is to the Denver Broncos. Which one do you want?
I mean, I would rather go 14.
Yeah, of course you would.
But 1-16, then you got the great pick. Bryce mm-hmm. Young's going to look so good in Action Green and College Navy. And you have that moral victory week one. So that would be the second best outcome to the and neither of these are very plausible outcomes, obviously.
Are you a big booer? Like, if you were there, would you boo?
No. No, I don't boo. Yeah, I've only booed once in my life.
Ooh,
and really? I booed an NFL coach so loud that he turned around.
What?
I think I've told you this before.
Well, tell us again.
Were you the only one booing that he turned around and looked at you? How did you get singled out?
No, there were a lot of people booing, so I'm not going to take all of the credit. And you know me, like, I'm not loud, so I can't even boo that loud. Like, it was like a weak boo.
Can I hear what the boo sounded like? Like, give us an example. Like,
well, I do the thing where I cut my mouth to make it sound louder.
Yeah.
Okay, so, well, first I should paint the scene. It was in Seattle. It was a rainy game, and the person I was booing was Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, wow.
It was his birthday.
Oh,
wow.
What were the circumstances? Why were you booing him on his birthday?
Well, no. I don't know. He's just so booable.
Mm-hmm.
He was such a booable.
I can see that. He's got a booable face.
I was thinking about him. Did you guys see the clip? This reminded me of Stu Oz, actually. The clip of the guy who was at the baseball game and stuck out the glove and caught the ball.
Yes.
He had a hell of a glove. I mean, had just walked away.
I just hope he looked at her and said, gotta want it more.
Those poor kids.
He should have. Yeah. You're right,
Jim Harbaugh notoriously brings a glove to baseball games.
Yes.
Know?
Yes, I saw Jim Harbaugh and his kids at the Masters. He attacked the fucking, Augusta, man. He was like wearing Timberlands. I mean, Billy, he was wearing like boots. I'm serious. It's very hilly there. They're like valleys at Augusta. And Harbaugh treated that exactly the way you would imagine Harbaugh treating it.
I love him now. So my relationship with him has really evolved over the years because I think he's one of the true, genuine, authentic weirdos in sports.
Mm. Does he know that about your relationship?
Well, we don't know the story yet. So it's his birthday, and you were back. Yeah.
It was kind of like this. It was rainy. I actually have a photo of me booing
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm wearing a poncho, you know, wind whipping everywhere, and I'm going, boo! Pretty good.
You're the best.
But it doesn't last long. You gotta drag it out.
I was trying to do like a second wind, like a circular breathing like Kenny G.
You know what I used to do? I used to moo because it was more fun, because like booing was very angry. So when people get mad, I turn it into moo and be like, moo. And then I just make myself start laughing, and then it would change my mood, because I was upset when I was doing it, but I'd start mooing. Aww. And then I would laugh. And then I would think, like, because my brain's weird, I would think, I'm like, man, like, some team should get on board with mooing things instead of booing things and sell it to a milk company. And then whenever something bad happens, they bring out like the moo cam or whatever, and you have a bunch of people mooing, brought to you by like True Moo Milk or something like that.
Yeah, but how about the boo birds? I mean, what happens there?
Yeah, but who's going to sponsor that? And I also have to, I had a moment, Mina, in April, when I realized I needed to change my ways, because I love a good booing more than anything. Well, not more than anything, but
you love being a booer?
Yeah, I love a good booing. I love voicing displeasure, because it's usually I'm not actually that upset, but I like the communal anger that you're throwing by making a weird sound at someone, right? Because it's obviously better than violence. Well, so I like booing. So I was at, I went to Detroit to see Miguel Cabrera get his 3,000th hit, right? And it was a day game. And then Aaron Boone is the manager of the Yankees, and he's 0 for 3. He needs to get one hit. He comes up in the bottom of the eighth inning. They're winning, right? So this is his last plate appearance of the day. They intentionally walk him. So I am livid. I'm like, boo, boo. It was so loud. The whole stadium was upset. Everyone's letting him have it. And I'm just going, boo. And I wasn't messing around with mooing that day. I was not in the mood to smile. Boo. So I'm like, boo, boo, screaming like it's not like, boo, Aaron Boone, you suck, blah, blah, blah. And then I turn. It's so loud, like deafeningly loud, because everyone around me is upset. And then I turn and remember I have my 10-month-old in my hand. And I look down at her, and she is horrified. She's crying. She's scared. She's like, what is happening? There's so much noise. My dad's going crazy. And I'm like, I need to get it together. Need to stop the booing when she's around.
Or you taught her an important life lesson early.
Yeah, I'd like to think, that's a good point. I'd like to think I was instilling good fandom habits in her at a young age. Also, I will say this. I was there 2 days later when he got the hit. Much more memorable, the mooing, than the hit. The hit was done in like 3 seconds. The booing, I will have that hatred for Aaron Boone for years to come.
Aaron Boone's a tough one to boo, because like the famous Simpsons quote, he can just say, are they booing or are they saying Boone?
Exactly.
You just don't know. I don't know.
That's a very good point.
Stugatz. Has Boogatz ever happened?
Oh,
I mean, Boogatz. Listen, when you're a Jeff fan, you're born booing, okay? that's how it works. Mikey A knows, yes. I want to boo together in a second, but Mikey A has a very good question for you.
Yeah, you said something earlier, and I kind of need to know now. I need Amina Khan's Mount Rushmore of authentic sports weirdos.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And when you're done with that, and you can take a second to think about it, how about a Mount Rushmore of booable faces in honor of
God.
Wow.
I don't even know which one to start with.
Also, while you're thinking about all that, also think of the person who last was the week one fantasy pickup no one drafted but ended up panning out for the entire season. Well, we were talking about that before. I'm just trying to close all the loops.
I don't know. That's the easiest one to answer. I don't know if you guys heard this. A lot of people are talking about it, so you probably heard about it. But just in case you didn't hear about it, I did win the ESPN War Room Fantasy League my first year as a rookie. Never been done. Congrats. And I did it largely because of it. I had Amon Ross St. Brown, who was a late pickup, who really paid off for me. Working backwards, booable faces.
Yes.
JJ
Watt. We're doing Mount Rushmore, okay?
Ooh, we're coming out high.
Oh, wow.
I didn't hear it.
JJ Watt.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Yes, he certainly does.
Little gift for you.
This is so great. Thank you.
He's
so nice, though.
I know. I have no problems with him. That was kind of just pandering.
No, but he does have a booable face. He does. No, you're right, though. I mean, you could be a nice guy and have a booable face. It's fine.
Stugatz has turned on him because he tweeted at Stugatz not too long ago.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
What did he tweet at you? That seems like something you would love.
I ripped
that's
him.
Why, that's why. That's why.
I ripped him. Mina, I ripped him. He tweeted at me, Stugatz, we're still doing this.
That's incredible.
And then I invited him on the podcast.
Yeah. Everyone was mad at me.
me.
Oh, now I like him because he gets it. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, he hasn't come on yet, so don't like him too much yet.
I know.
Mm.
Boo.
Boo.
I feel like Rodgers has taken a real booable turn lately. Yeah. Just visually.
Yeah. Try not to say anything mean about him because he's supposed to join us next week. But
oh, really?
I'll do it after he joins us. I mean, he hugged me. I thought he was vaccinated. We hugged. He brought me in for a second hug. I thought he was vaccinated. That's it. That's all. I mean, that's it. I would have hugged him anyway. I mean,
if you had to, never mind. I'm going to say. Okay. Google faces.
Be careful now, Mimi.
You're a big star.
You know that, right?
I know. Okay. I'm playing a dangerous game shot jokes. Okay. Other booable faces. I keep thinking about the NFL, but I should probably move off of the NFL. I mean, obviously.
You have J.J. Watt in there.
Grayson Allen.
Grayson Allen. Definitely. That's a great one. That's fantastic.
What about a good coach? Who's a good booable coach?
No one better than Harbaugh, I don't think.
No, he's such a delicious boo. There aren't any like true villain coaches in the NFL anymore. I mean, I guess
Belichick
is gone. No.
I feel bad for him at this point.
He's
kind of entered that old age.
Yeah.
But maybe that's how he's going to get us this season. He's showing his soft underbelly and then the ship comes out. That would be very Belichickian.
McCarthy?
Again, more of like a kind of feel bad kind of thing. Oh, Cliff Kingsbury.
There you go. Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm writing this down.
Now Mike's like, what the fuck happened to my weirdos?
No, that's fine. I'm just wondering if Kingsbury's too handsome to boo.
That's exactly why you boo him. Because he is handsome privilege. So you know he can take it.
Mina, I have the Dolphins winning the Super Bowl. What says you? So does Greg Cody, by the way.
Like, actually?
Yeah, for real. Yeah. Boo!
No, you can't boo me.
I'm not booing you.
I don't see it playing out that way, to be honest.
Why?
Sorry.
You don't believe in Tua?
You're setting me up now.
No,
you're
I'm not. For the fan you base know I would not do that. I'm just having a football conversation with my friend.
You know how that fan base is.
Yes,
you
I do.
You know how they are.
Right.
So when did this happen, by the way? Because I feel like Dolphins fans didn't always used to be this ornery. Is it ornery or ornery? Ornery?
It's ornery. Yeah.
It's okay. How about this, Mina? Just say
me
just
correcting say that. You on grammar is the greatest thing that will happen this week.
we think this, okay? Obviously, the Super Bowl is bold. We think Tua is going to be a Pro Bowler. Will you go down that path with us? Lots of people turned down the Pro Bowl.
Well, Pro Bowl's it's bullshit, right? Like,
yes.
Someone gets hurt, another guy gets hurt, someone's in the Super Bowl, and the next thing you know. I mean, Mitch Trubisky was a Pro Bowler, I think.
Right.
Right? So it's like, you could totally be a Pro Bowler. Sure.
There you go. I love it.
All right.
We just need that, Mina, so that when he does make the Pro Bowl and then Chris Sims rips him again, we're like, you know what, Chris? He's a Pro Bowler.
By the way, speaking of the Dolphins, I caught your guys' interview with Mike McDaniel, Stu.
Yes.
Crushed it. Great questions.
Thank you. Wow, thank you very much. Yeah.
Really good.
Do you agree with my wife, by the way? Sneaky good looking?
Mike McDaniel?
Yeah.
I think he's just young.
Really? Because when my wife's
looking or young. Yeah.
When she looks up, when I'm watching sports and she looks over to me and says, who is that? I know what she's asking me. Okay. And so she did that with Mike McDaniel. I said, why are you asking? It's the Dolphins head coach. She said, sneaky good looking.
How about that? I don't know. I went to college with him, but did not meet him.
You went to college with him?
Yeah. Went to Yale.
Oh.
Never met him. But our mutual friend, Andrew Hawkins, I saw a few weeks ago, and he asked me if I had met him. I said no, if I knew him in college. And he said, yeah, you're the same person. And I was like, what? And he said, the way you are, the way you talk, the way you think, basically the same. And I don't know if this is like nerd stereotyping. It could be, honestly. Mm-hmm. Could be a little bit of nerd profiling there. But that made me like, well, now I don't believe him in at all, knowing that. Kidding me? Nerd? No. I don't want a coach to be anything like me.
Mina Kimes is with us here on Stupidity. Chris Sims thinks the 49ers, top to bottom, are the most talented team in the NFL. Eagles are in that conversation, he said. Do you agree with him?
Is he including quarterback for both?
Yes.
Because absent the quarterback, I think he's absolutely right. Those are the two rosters. I mean, I think the Bills are probably as stacked, honestly, but quarterback's a big question mark for both teams, so I don't think I agree with him in given the outsized importance of the position. That said, I have both teams. I have the Eagles winning the NFC East. I think the Niners are going to be a playoff team. But just because of how important quarterbacks are, I can't do it.
Do you think, like, I think Trey Lance is going to be pretty good, though. Do you?
I think he is going to have very high highs and potentially low lows this year. And that because the rest of the team is so good, I think that's probably going to be good enough. And then if he heats up at the right time or if he develops by the end of the season, they could be the most terrifying team in football.
The Steelers, did they make the right decision there with Mitch Trubisky, the Pro Bowler?
You know, I don't really, like, care because it's sort of irrelevant. It's like, okay, does this – the question is what's best for the team. Okay, I mean, I think you could argue that it might be best to just roll Pickett out there immediately, but their offensive line is so bad that I can't help but wonder if maybe they just want to find the right time, say when they play the Jets, I think week four or something, might be the right time.
Be 0-3 headed into that one, yep.
Pickett this chance. But
I told you Zach Wilson wasn't starting, by the way. Like, you texted me earlier this week. Now he's out 4 weeks. I get my
That's weird, though, right? Because there was one day it was like, oh, he might play week one. And the next day it's like, no, he's actually dead. Like, it escalated.
Right, he's out for 5 weeks, right? They were throwing him off the Joe Flacco scent. I'm telling you.
Crazy.
I get my beloved revenge game, though. 4 years in the making. Flacco versus the Ravens. Are you excited for me?
I'm not going to watch that game. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to America.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm not going to watch the Seahawks game. How about that? Huh?
It's Monday. You're definitely going to watch it.
Wow. I have no choice.
It's the only game. It's the
only, but I've watched games with Geno Smith before. They're not
will
pretty.
You watch? Here, let me ask you this. Will you watch ESPN the next day if the Seahawks win to see how annoying I am?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'll watch it regardless, but yes.
Dude, what's the,
what are you doing right now?
I was starting to do a Vince McMahon strut, but then I turned it into the Conor McGregor thing.
Oh.
I wish I had sleeves on right now because you're so skinny.
What?
I said, when I do that, you can see how skinny my arms are because it really accentuates how spaghetti-like they are.
They're flapping around. Like one of those inflatable things outside of a car dealer.
We have the same brain. Very different brains, but also the same brain, because that's exactly what I was going to say.
So was Mike McDaniel.
Billy, are you
by the transitive property, Mike McDaniel is just like Stugatz.
Yeah, jeez.
Whatever that means.
He might actually be the intersection of our Venn diagram, Stu.
I don't know what that means.
Well,
I'll trust you on it.
I think we have one thing in common with him, which is, and this is not based on insider info, this is just my read. He looks like he likes to take a stroll.
Wow. Oh,
there's no doubt. Yeah.
Real stroller energy.
You spend a little time
energy.
In San Francisco, that's what happens, though.
I mean, you know, the way he talks, I'm like, oh, yeah, stroller. Yeah. That's a stroll.
No
stroll
doubt.
Guy.
And I think he sensed that from me, too, because, well,
oh,
I took a stroll.
Stroll recognized stroll.
I walked into that office.
Mina, you still haven't given up your sports weirdos.
Oh, my God.
All right, who did it? Well, Harbaugh. Harbaugh's, I guess, on both lists.
So strange, Harbaugh.
Who else is weird in sports?
Oh, it's got to be Mark Davis, right?
Mark Davis. Oh, wow. If we're counting owners, it's probably all owners.
Yeah, it's probably all the owners.
Mike Leach.
Mike Leach is definitely. You guys are filling this out perfectly. Mike Leach would be the other one, the other obvious candidate. Oh, maybe I'm blanking on his name. Bill, you know, Bill, Basketball Bill.
Basketball Bill.
Walton.
Oh, Walton. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Basketball Bill.
I speak Mina.
Basketball. Bill Russell. Bill Walton. Be,
yeah. Bill Russell would be quite a shocking pick for that category.
I have been to 4 Dead shows with Bill Walton, and he still doesn't realize that he's been to 1 with me. he has no idea. I have to remind him who I am every time we're hanging out. It's weird. Are you rooting for Baker Mayfield this year?
Yeah. I am. Week one, I think if it could be pretty electric. Like, we throw revenge game around a lot. Like, it's a Joe Flacco revenge game. Well, you just said that. Yes. I forgot. You said that, like, whatever.
That's okay.
But that's not a real revenge game because he got paid in Baltimore. He's fine. You know, whatever. Baker Mayfield versus the Browns is, like, a legit revenge game. And he is the revengiest quarterback imaginable. And I love how he's pretending not to be. Like, I saw an article on Panthers.com that was like, Baker Mayfield's ignoring the noise. And it's like, no, he's not. No. Please.
He's listening to all of it.
Please. The guy who's
creating most
flag
of it. Yes.
And great. I want the noise. I want the revenge. I want maximum sass if they pull this off. So
I think given the option, like, Baker, you will die, but you will beat them by 40 points, or you'll live and you'll lose by 40 points. He'd take die and beat them by 40 points. I don't know why that would be the circumstances, but I feel like he cares that much.
40, but 34 points, he would not take
right,
that
it has to be 40. Like, I think Mina would draw the line at dying for Russell Wilson to lose Monday night. Like, I don't think it's that important to her.
I did pick... Mike Ryan invited me into his Survivor League. I don't know if either any of you guys are in it.
The big Survivor League?
Yeah. If you're not, sorry.
No. The big one.
No, I think it's his friends. Not that many.
Is this the one with famous people that they can't mention their names? Because that's the one that Stugatz is in. That's like very expensive.
I could say this one name, Marty Fish. It's Marty Fish's league. Okay. But if anyone knows Marty, we've been to Lake Tahoe with him many times. Marty has many, many friends. I'm not going to name any, but because I'm not allowed to. I'm sworn to secrecy here.
So. I was told a certain NBA Finals MVP sent a group email and was told that they couldn't. You didn't tell me that.
That's not nice of you to say about Iguodala.
Well, that reminds me, I'm doing the most Stugatz thing now imaginable, which is I am in a similar league to that with some NBA players. It's a fantasy football league. Alex Caruso's in it, no big deal. And the draft is happening right now.
Right.
But I hired Danny Kelly, who does fantasy for The Ringer, to draft for me.
I'm going to
give him 25% if I win.
I love that.
And he's impersonating me at this moment, drafting.
Is he really?
He just texted me. I got Cooper Kupp. I'm pretty stoked.
Wait, so you have to go. You're leaving now to go do this draft, right?
No, I have a work thing.
What's next? What's next for you?
It's like I'm doing a thing with a Twitter Spaces with Field Yates.
Oh, Jesus Christ! Will you stop? You're gonna burn yourself out. Last thing, Justin Tucker. Should a kicker be in the Hall of Fame?
Yes. Are you kidding me?
Billy's wondering why I'm asking you that, because she tweeted something about Justin Tucker. She loves Justin Tucker.
He is the only athlete I've ever been too starstruck to talk to at the ESPYs. I was staring at him he was sitting a few tables away from me this year. I was staring at him so creepily, and he must have been so unnerved by it, because everyone else was staring at, you know, Steph Curry, Cooper Kupp. I was locked in on Justin. The whole time I was thinking, what will I say to Justin Tucker? And then I never worked up the courage to approach him.
Wow.
Amazing.
So yes, Hall of Fame, first ballot.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, she could draft the first round in her fantasy draft.
I wish.
Justin Tucker. Off the board. Let's all boo together on the way out, okay? You want to do it?
Okay, ready?
1, 2, 3. Boo! We miss you. We miss you, and we love you.
So stupid that you laughed at that.
Can you promote one of your 17 platforms that you're on, or all 17, whatever you want to promote on the way out?
Please, the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny. Also, please, however you got me on, get me back on. I want to come. I'll come back anytime.
Okay, next week. It's a date. Okay.
Cool.
Wow. She's gone.
She gone.
She wasn't joking.
Holy shit. Twitter Spaces. What is she doing? Can you make money there?
Billy, get me on Twitter Spaces.
Did I show my cards? You know, I'm trying to do this super follower thing, but you have to send out 30 tweets over 30 days. You know that?
Oh, really?
Like in the last 30 days, you have to send out 30 tweets. So what I'm going to do is just rank 30 quarterbacks tomorrow so I can get my 30 tweets in.
Well, well, you have to send them as individual tweets.
Right. That's what I'll do.
Okay.
Number 30. Yeah.
Okay.
You want to know who number 30 is?
Yeah, sure. Tell them, stupidity exclusive. Who's number 30 on your list of your top 30 quarterbacks?
That would be last, right? Whoever the Jets quarterback is. That's it. That's number 30.
Do you Why really are you doing
number 30?
No, 32. Yeah, there's 32.
Hold on, I gotta look them up. I did fantasy rankings here. Hold on, I'll tell you.
Why did you do fantasy rankings?
Oh, you know, Matthew Cherry. I mean,
do you want it? I mean, it's week one, Stu guys. Today the NFL season starts. You want to do some fantasy rankings? Any last minute suggestions here for the people, the good listeners?
I just want to tell you number 30. Who number 30 is on my list? Here I am. Okay, you ready? It's Davis Mills.
Wow, the third?
Yes.
Or am I thinking, I'm thinking of Davis Love, the third.
You're thinking of Davis Mills, the 30th.
Davis Mills should be a third, though, right? Put it on the poll. There should be the third after Davis Mills. I have Kenny Pickett at 29. How about that?
Wow, don't you dare say 28. Who is it?
Jimmy G.
I think the best part is going to be the two that are left off of this list.
I put Malik. Who's the guy from Tennessee, Mike? The rookie they drafted?
Malik Wills.
Yes, I have him at 20, at 26. Mac Jones, 25, Billy.
I really did a top 25.
And I did a top 25 and five to stash away. That's what I did. So my five to stash away are Davis Mills, Kenny Pickett, Drew Lock, Jimmy G, and Malik from the Titans.
Who's 24? Who's 24?
Brian Tatto.
Wow.
Take a guess who I put ahead of Tatto.
I mean,
Geno Smith.
No, you did not.
He's got Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. I mean, someone's got to get stats there, no?
I think they're
Mike,
running backs.
Are you worried that Geno Smith? Are you worried that Pete Carroll's
going
to turn?
No. No, I'm not. Not even a little bit.
Stupidity. Stu Gouts here from my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So, what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. Listen, for me, it's simple. When I'm sitting around with friends, with family, we're at concerts, we're watching the Knicks finally win for the first time in 30 years, we're laughing, we're having a great time, we do it with ice cold Miller Lights. Always have, always will. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.